I declare the meeting open at 5:30 PM. I welcome councillors, management and members of the public in attendance of the City of Melbourne. We respectfully acknowledge that we are meeting on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation. This place is now known by the name of Melbourne. Melbourne is one of the great multicultural cities of the world and a significant meeting place. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place and a location for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. Could I take this opportunity to notify members of the public the meeting is being recorded and will be available on the City of Melbourne's website before close of business tomorrow. The unconfirmed minutes of the meeting are also available from the City of Melbourne's website as soon as practicable. Should there be any queries relating to the conduct of the meeting, the documentation or the submission process, please speak with a member of the Council business team after the meeting. May I ask that all mobile phones be turned to silent for the duration of the meeting. The agenda comprises four reports from management. Apologies have been received from the Deputy Lord Mayor, Aaron Wood, and Councillor Watts. I advise members of the committee and the public that where the committee makes a decision on the basis of fewer than six members voting in favour, the decision may be referred by a councillor to council for decision. If any councillor has either a direct or indirect interest, as defined in the Local Government Act 1989, in relation to a matter to be considered by committee, please disclose the type and the nature of the interest prior to consideration of the item. Could I call on a councillor to move a resolution adopting the minutes of Open Meeting Number 10, held on Tuesday, the 18th of April? Thank you, Councillor Sullivan. Seconded Councillor Oak. I'll put that motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Are there any matters arising from the minutes of the previous meeting? In that case, the following submissions have been received in accordance with the Council's Meeting Procedures Code. In relation to Agenda Item 6.1, Planning Permit Application TP 2016-1124, Queen Street Reserve and Queen Victoria Market, requests to speak from Joe Vitale, Malcolm McCullough, Miriam Fain, Nancy Polichaney, Mary McDonald and Brian Murray, and items of correspondence from Nancy Polichaney, Kay Oddy, and Felicity Watson. In the relation to Agenda Item 6.2, City of Melbourne submission regarding Planning Scheme C281, Games Village Project, Parkville, an item of correspondence from Kay Oddy. In relation to Agenda Item 6.4, proposed travel report by Lord Mayor Robert Doyle, Chicago Forum on Global Cities and Private Roundtable with Mayor Rahm Emanuel, and to Auckland for the 2017 Local Government New Zealand Conference, a request to speak from Chris Thrum. Could I advise submitters you're invited to address the committee at the time the agenda item is considered? You have 3 minutes to address the committee. We stick to that 3 minute time limit. There is a counter on the wall behind me. Beeps sound at the completion of 2 minutes, telling you you have 1 minute remaining to conclude your address. A final beep sounds to indicate that the time allocated to you has finished. In accordance with the Council's Meeting Procedures Code, we provide a 15-minute period at the beginning and the end of each meeting for members of the public to ask questions. Questions should not be greater than 90 seconds in duration, and this is not the time to make submissions. Submitters are invited to address the committee at the time the relevant agenda item is considered. Would anyone like to ask us a question? In that case, could I call on Councillor Rees to assume the role of Chair in relation to the planning portfolio?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. There are two reports from management for consideration under the Planning General Portfolio. The first of those is Agenda Item 6.1, Planning Permit TP 2016-1124, Queen Street Road Reserve and Queen Victoria Market, 65 to 159 Victoria Street, Melbourne. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item?
Brief one.
Yep. Okay. Call on a presentation from Council Officer Evan Council. Thank you, Evan.
Thank you, Chair. Good evening, Lord Mayor, councillors and members of the public. This is a planning permit application, as was mentioned, for the Queen Street Reserve as well as a small portion of the Queen Victoria Market at 65 to 159 Victoria Street in Melbourne. The applicant is obviously council itself, care of Contour Consultants, and the architect is Breathe Architects, and council is the landowner. The site is located, or the area subject to this application is highlighted in red within the Queen Street Market Reserve. There is a small section of land along the western periphery of the southern section of works which encroaches into the market site. where there will be also a subsequent approval required through Heritage Victoria, as the market is on the Heritage Victoria register. The proposal includes a number of planning triggers, including demolition, buildings and works to construct the temporary market facility, display of internally illuminated advertising signage, as well as a waiver or reduction in the loading and unloading requirements of the planning scheme. The structure itself is a proposed temporary market shed of two levels. It's approximately 264 metres in length, as you can see on the plans on the screen. Has a maximum height of 13 metres and a maximum width of between 10 and 19 metres, depending on which end of the site you're at. It's proposed that the market, the facility will be in place for no more than 5 years from the date that the market is completed. And the upper level of the market includes what has been referred to as an urban greenhouse, where it will be capability to grow fruit and vegetables. Some images, 3D images of the proposed entrance from the Victoria Street end. You can see a stairwell, a stairwell up to the upper level urban greenhouse, as well as market stalls at the lower levels within the street reserve. This is a render which shows a more inclusive vision of the market, of the proposed facility in its full length, including retention of the proposed street trees. The main areas for consideration are heritage, built form, traffic, loading, street tree impacts and advertising signage. Officers have assessed the application and found it to be warranting support, subject to conditions to deal with some detailed matters, particularly a traffic management plan, tree protection management plan, and also removal of some signage, and importantly, inclusion of a condition requiring removal of the structure no later than 5 years from the completion date. Any questions?
Councillor Riley.
Could we just go back to the first slide, please? No, sorry, the first of the picture slides. Just yes. Where's the access for disabled if that is just a staircase going up?
Apologies, Councillor, I'm not aware of any disabled access in the plans. I might defer to the QVM team for that question, who may have further detail on disabled access to the upper levels of the structure.
Thank you.
Can I ask Rob Adams to answer that question?
I'll just see if you've got it on your phone. Lord Mayor, Chair, Councillors, through you, there is a lift provided. I'm not sure whether the plan actually shows it, but there is a lift provided by one of the entrances that will actually access the top. So we've got disability access via lift.
Thank you.
Good to see the statutory planners and the urban planners working so well together there. Thank you very much. Are there any further questions for Evan? Okay, thank you very much for that, Evan. I will now call on Joe Vitale, who requested the opportunity to address the committee in relation to this matter, to speak for no more than 3 minutes. Thank you, Joe.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Joe Vitale. I'm a Queen Victoria Market trader for over 28 years. I've also grown up in the area. In fact, my family came out back in 1948 and we moved into North Melbourne. So really the Queen Vic Market was our supermarket, if you like, our playground. And I remember the days actually in Victoria Street, Dad had a tattoo shop there and you couldn't stand still in Victoria Street with numbers of people walking by with their shopping from the Queen Vic Market. So it was great times. So we've gone through the really great times and not so good times, and we're in a situation now where obviously something's got to be done in the Queen Vic Market to revitalise it again. Major plans are involved in redevelopment and whatever, and you know, we may agree or disagree with a lot of things because we all have our own ideas and agendas. For me, as a trader there and from the position where I am within the food court, whatever, we know that we're going to go through a construction period of time, which is going to take 5 years, and we know we're losing people, traders at the moment, we're losing customers because of the facilities there at the market and not suiting. Imagine in a construction zone, and that is the thing that worries me, because I know at the end of it, in 5 years' time, the market's going to be terrific. And, you know, and the only thing is us as traders got to be able to survive the period to the 5 years until then. So when I saw this proposal of the pavilion, I thought, what a great exercise this is. It's rehousing a lot of the traders that are going to be displaced in that time. In the sense, it's going to also invigorate the guys. They've been doing the same thing for the last 40 and 50 years and whatever else. So they've been coming into a new area. I'm sure with the virtual merchandising assistance that the Queen Vic Market is going to do, it's going to be great. So it's going to actually lift their game. As in fact, we had a fine experience in Terry Street last year when they moved some of the traders in Terry Street under a marquee. It's great. I mean, all of them performed a lot better than they would have or had been performing under the sheds, and it was great. It was a great feeling with everyone. It's great. My other thing is that with the pavilion that we're going to have there, we're going to be camouflaging the construction and the hoardings that's going to be going on there for quite a while, because that is going to deter people from coming to the market. So what we do, we're actually creating an environment where we're going to be able to bring people back. You know, last year I was in New York at the Chelsea Market. They got the Highliner there. Brilliant. You know, I mean, I think last year they had something like 7 million people going through the Highliner. Sure, we're not in New York. And I'm not saying that the pavilion is going to be an icon like, you know, Sydney Opera House or the MCG, but it's going to be something to bring people back into have a look at, rather than the same thing. There's going to be school kids. We get school kids at the moment coming through to the market, you know, the projects from school, and asking the fruiterers, you know, how long does it take to grow a zucchini, or what plants the capsicum grow. With the market garden they're looking at planning on doing upstairs, it's going to be great. I mean, the kids are going to be coming through looking at that, going back and discussing with their parents and whatever, reinvigorating their parents to come down and look at the market, whatever. It's going to be an attraction. So we're going to go from an attraction to attracting people to the market rather than something sort of scaring people away. So as a trader, not only do we like the idea, we need the idea to be able to continue. That's basically it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joe. I suspect there's some councillors would have hoped you could go on all night. I now call on Malcolm McCulloch. Are there any questions for Joe? No? Okay. I call on Malcolm McCulloch, who requested the opportunity to address the committee in relation to this matter, to speak for no more than 3 minutes. Thank you, Malcolm.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, Chair and councillors and the public for giving me the opportunity. I'm Malcolm McCulloch. I'm the CEO of the Queen Victoria Market. And tonight, to give you an understanding and speak here in support of the planning permit application for the temporary Newmarket Pavilion at Queen Victoria Market. Queen Victoria Market has a proud history. As custodians of the market, we are committed to preserving the heritage of the market and protecting the people that make it so special during the renewal program and beyond. We want to make sure that the market remains secure and affordable for all traders and customers, and that it remains a home for small business. The temporary Newmarket Pavilion proposed to be built on Queen Street will be not only provide the space for traders to trade during the renewal works, but also the reasons for many people to visit the market. This iconic proposal, with its elevated greenhouse, will become a destination in itself. And I think that what it does is it provides, as Joe mentioned, a way for us forward to see the traders embark on something new and something different that provides a way forward for the future. It will provide us with a flexible space to try out new trading formats and to fit out the areas of the new market so that we can provide for traders right the way through those 5 years of renewal. A group of traders were involved in the selection and the design concept for the Newmarket Pavilion, and we will continue to work closely with all traders regarding the fit out and the trading format for the Newmarket Pavilion. We mustn't overlook the much needed safety improvements the renewal program will bring to our market. The separation of vehicles from public areas is vital to complying with contemporary safe work practices. Engaging with traders, customers, and the broader community has been a critical part of shaping the renewal program to date. The Queen Victoria Market Management Team will continue to work together with traders, customers, and the City of Melbourne to ensure we continue the iconic traditions of our market for generations to come. The Newmarket Pavilion will provide us with a platform for us to move forward during that period, provide us with the security to be able to continue to have traders trading at the market all the way through renewal, provide different formats for us to be able to support the customers and the needs that the customers have shown us in the research and the work that has been done. But what it does, more importantly than anything else, it creates an area and a platform for small business to continue to prosper, to continue to be affordable, and continue to offer the customers, the visitors, and the tourists that come to Melbourne the opportunity to experience the Queen Victoria Market. Thank you.
Thank you, Malcolm. I now call on Miriam Fain, who requested the opportunity to address the committee in relation to this matter, to speak for no more than 3 minutes.
Can you hear me?
Sure can. Thank you, Miriam.
Sorry? Yes. I'm sorry to pour rain on your parade, but Friends of Queen Victoria Market want to oppose this planning application, and we've got the following grounds. The first one is that we think there's an unseemly rush. There is not yet any Heritage Victoria permission to take down the sheds, and also the permits for the construction in the existing market. And we can't understand what the rush is to separate this from the rest of the development. Secondly, we think there's a major inconsistency in applying the C245 panel recommendations selectively. We note that the planning application talks about C245 being, I quote, seriously entertained. However, one of the basic recommendations of the panel was that it was the Minister's job to sign off on planning applications from the City of Melbourne in the Queen Victoria Market. And this is not only preemptive, it's also disrespectful, I think, of the Minister's intentions in rushing this through in this matter. Okay, manner. Okay, the third thing is there's no strategic justification provided by council to for this kind of temporary facility, and I know you're going to tell me that a business plan is not part of a planning application, but however, we have not yet seen the business plan for this extremely expensive folly, I think we can call it. Fourthly, there are major issues with the design, and very briefly, in effect, trading will take place in a very long, quite low tunnel. There's no cross-section or longitudinal sections provided in the planning application with stalls. There's lots of pretty rendering of pictures, but actually what the trading's going to look like is not clear at all. And I'm particularly alarmed by Malcolm's statement that they're going to try the new fit-outs, because we've already seen the fixed stalls being rolled out in the market, and that's what's going to drive the customers away, not the slightly shabbiness of the current market. I don't understand how you can have a transparent floor and then grow vegetables and, for God's sake, fruit on it. I'm a gardener. You need roots for trees for fruit, unless you're growing strawberries. There is no information whatsoever here about the logistics, about the loading and unloading. And that is absolutely astounding that we don't know how traders are going to load up their stalls and take them out again. And again, we envisage that this is preliminary to a total change in the trading manner of the fresh produce section. And I guess also it's diminution, because we're seeing the loss of parking and the loss of the bus parking, which I think is serious, and other things that make us believe that this is part of the slow attrition of the market. And I haven't even started on heritage. So we can't work out whether this whole business is a vanity project, or whether it's a land grab, or whether it's bits of both. But we think that the community does not support it in any shape or form. Thank you.
Thank you, Miriam. Any questions for Miriam? No? Okay. I now call on Nancy Policini, who requested the opportunity to address the committee in relation to this matter, to speak for no more than 3 minutes. Thank you, Nancy.
Good evening. My name is Nancy Policini. Alongside my husband and children, we own the Apple Corner and have done so for the last 22 years, situated in B Shed at the Queen Victoria Market. I'm sure that one thing that we all have in common in this room is that we're all passionate at preserving the market, for it still to be recognised as one of Melbourne's greatest icons and busiest shopping precincts for the next 100 years. And for this to happen, unfortunately, we must make changes. We have noticed many changes to the volume of customers coming to Queen Victoria Market. Numbers are dwindling week by week. And as a trader, I'm asking myself, why are customers choosing not to come back? Melbourne has undergone many changes to increase population, increase people living in the city, better public transport, and yet we have failed to attract any of these increases into the traffic flow at the Queen Victoria Market. Something needs to change in order to make the Queen Victoria Market an attractive place for all customers' shopping needs in the heart of the city, and yet still allowing them to experience the ambience of a market life. As a trader, I can see both advantages and disadvantages to the pavilion, but the advantages to me far outweigh the potential disadvantages. Firstly, we would be placed in a new state-of-the-art eco-friendly building that could be seen as a potential icon, as one of a kind. People will be able to shop comfortably 365 days of the year without being deterred by extreme heat or cold. The pavilion will be temperature controlled, protecting not only us, the traders, customers, but also the freshness of our fruit and vegetables. Secondly, it will make customers finding where we are located much easier, as we'll all be under basically the one roof and conveniently next to the deli, meat and fish halls. The new outlay would speed up customer shopping time at the Queen Victoria Market, making it more attractive for the time-conscious customer, or allowing them extra time to enjoy their coffee or brunch at the market. This could also have a positive impact on the parking at the Queen Victoria Market. The pavilion will have better signage, illumination and directions, making it easier for people and customers and tourists to find us. We would be able to provide a much more safer environment for customers to shop comfortably in. The pavilion is a step forward in Queen Victoria Market, wanting to remain as Australia's busiest shopping precincts, but also retaining the ambience, friendliness and variety that only the Queen Victoria Market can provide. It is crucial to our success as business owners to embrace these changes in order to secure our future livelihood. This pavilion could be seen as a step in the right direction to entice customers, whether it be for the first time, to see and experience shopping at the market, or customers that have left for whatever reason to come back and be reinvigorated by shopping at the Queen Victoria Market. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nancy. If there's no questions for Nancy, I will now call on Mary McDonald, who requested the opportunity to address the committee in relation to this matter, to speak for no more than 3 minutes. Thank you, Mary.
Good evening, Lord Mayor, councillors. I object, obviously. Around the 1930s, my grandparents sold vegetables at the Queen Victoria Market, travelling by horse and cart from their market garden in Werribee. I was a general trader for over 25 years until retirement. Now I'm a customer. The proposed temporary construction is inappropriate and not in keeping with our heritage sheds. The loss of trees is, I believe, inevitable. Queen Victoria Market is of historical, social, architectural significance to the state of Victoria. I quote from your conservation management plan. The Queen Victoria Market provides a still, vibrant sense of how a 19th century market functioned, operating in essentially the same way today as it did 143 years ago, unquote. This heritage significance will be eliminated with removal of the sheds, stalled, crammed into tacky little boxes or pods, all the same, and the vibrant atmosphere will be totally destroyed. I agree with Paul Keating, who said on John Fain's show, I quote, taking all those market sheds down and putting them back up, that means they have got to strip the lead paint off. He went on to say, imagine in this day and age the shed somehow being disassembled and re-riveted. All of the patina goes. Melbourne is trying to list this as a heritage site, but there will be no heritage left. It will be just stripped up new buildings, unquote. So much for the heritage listing. Apart from the destruction of the heritage values, the removal and storage of the sheds is too high a risk. The lovely wrought iron gates at the entrance were once removed for works, and they vanished from storage, eventually to be recovered many years later. Mr. Keating also commented on the proposed tower development. He said the problem is the developer. Council should have less regard for the developer and more for the civic domain. I couldn't agree more. It's an open air market, our market for the people of Melbourne and our number one tourist attraction. Not a great opportunity to make money with whopping great towers or destruction of our heritage for a collection of tacky, identical pods, leaving the market devoid of atmosphere and vibrancy. Puts me in mind of that little song, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same. I believe this proposal will destroy the vibrant, multicultural shopping experience we now love and enjoy. If you vote for this, history will rightly judge you harshly. Leave our market alone. Go somewhere else to build your towers. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. I now call on Brian Murray, who requested the opportunity to address the committee in relation to this matter, to speak for no more than 3 minutes. Brian, there's a lectern there. An officer could perhaps help with the distribution of materials. Even the CEO, if he wants to step up to the plate. Setting a great example for all council officers there, CEO. Thank you, Ben. Okay, Brian, you've got 3 minutes.
Excuse me. I object to this proposal for but not limited to the following reasons. This is not proper planning process. The planning application is preemptive and is putting the cart before the horse. The need for these works, etc., depend on approval of the precinct underground facilities and the Munro Corner developments being approved, and Minister Wynne has not signed off on these plans. Therefore, this is not required at this point. The temporary pavilion will have the effect, I say the deliberate effect, of splitting the market in two, the haves to the east and the have-nots to the west, split by this proposed monstrosity. And in my opinion, Mayor Doyle has disqualified himself from the vote on this project, as he's admitted on television last Friday he has a predetermined position. I quote, "We will certainly listen to legitimate concerns, but the development will proceed," unquote. Mayor Doyle has said he will listen, but his mind is already made up. You say there will be no loss of car parking, yet 97 car parking spaces are being lost, including 4 disabled spaces. You say traders will have security of tenure, yet I know of 2 traders who have recently had their licence renewed for only 2 years, where previously they had 6-year licences. The temporary pavilion is to house traders relocated for below ground works, A&D shed, etc. Yet in brackets you say, subject to a planning application process later this year. To build a temporary pavilion now, when the need for that pavilion is subject to a future planning application, is not proper planning. Council would rightly reject this scenario for others. The process of this redevelopment has been sledgehammer at best, and this is the first cut in a series of cuts that I believe will rip the guts out of this market. It seems this overall development is loosely modelled on Istanbul's Grand Bazaar and the events based on Marrakesh Market in Morocco. Neither model will work in Melbourne, in my opinion. A market is a market. It is the people, the stallholders and the visitors. Once you try to manipulate it, it is leasened, and as can be seen by the current micromanagement of the traders, which has had a diminishing effect in this market, it's more like a Westfield, but without the Coles and Woolies. The temporary pavilion is not needed. It is not wanted by the traders or the public. And one can only ask, why is it wanted or needed by council? Vic Market has been one of the Melbourne Council's biggest revenue streams for many, many years. I can only suggest that this is greed that derives this development. I have been a trader there for over 27 years. I'm now retired, and I shop there every week. And this development, I think, is wrong.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Any questions?
No, I don't think there are. Thank you.
I didn't think so. Thank you.
Okay, I now call on a councillor to move the motion, Lord Mayor, and I will second the motion. Might just take a moment to get it up on screen.
And Chair, before the debate starts, can I suggest an amendment to the mover and seconder, if we can scroll down and have a look at that as well, as a second part there. Thank you.
I'll give councillors a moment to read that amendment. Yep, I am as certain as well. Lord Mayor, do you wish to speak to the motion?
Thank you, I do. Look, this is the next step in redevelopment of the market. I would point out this now goes back 5 years to traders coming to me and to council in the previous council to actually ask us to do something about investment in the market. And I'll talk more about that in a moment. Could I thank Councillor Leppard for that slight tweak to the motion, I think it makes it absolutely clear, particularly around heritage issues, that we will come back to the public each time, and I thank him for his work in doing that. I think it's a very sensible addition. The point about this is that this pavilion is needed regardless of the next stage of development. It's innovative, it's attractive, it's a magnet, as both of our present traders said. It's something new to see for people. It's something to bring people to the market, not just to kick tyres, because we get lots of tourists there, but do they necessarily walk away having made a purchase? Well, they tend not to buy vegetables and fruit. They tend not to buy meat or fish. But we want people who are there to be actually purchasing. So this is a step towards that, and I thank Joe and Nancy for their contributions. I take Mary's point about heritage. I would make the point that although it's on the Vic Heritage Register, no one's done any work to get it on the National Heritage Register, and that's only happened since the redevelopment. And when you say it's a rush development, 5 years to get to this first point before we make any expenditure is hardly rushed, I would have thought, in public policy. And it is the redevelopment which led to the Federal Minister and I making an announcement last week that this development has passed the next step towards national heritage listing, and protection, quite different from the Victorian Heritage Register. And I'm absolutely confident by the end of the year it will attain that national heritage listing. I would say to Brian, when he says it's not proper planning, this is the way you actually do planning. Is this not improper? It is exactly the way you do it, in exactly the order that you should do it. And when you say that I have a predetermined position, that's because there are council decisions which underpin exactly what I said in public media. Public decisions made in this forum and at council. So not a predetermined, a council view of where we are. I get, you know, the passion of people about it, but when facts are not facts and presumptions are made that are not accurate, I do get a little impatient about the opposition to it. This would be needed whether or not we did anything under A, B and C sheds. It is also an attractor for people to the market. I hope that traders do embrace it, as the two present traders we have heard do embrace it, and I hope that we can promote the hell out of it to actually get people not just to the market to have a bit of a look, but to actually purchase from our traders. The end point for us, where we want to land in about five and a half years' time, is a market that is set up to be one of the great open-air markets of the world, that does not lose any of the character of an open-air market. One of the reasons, and there's a bit of confusion again between the market proposal and the Munro site from a couple of our presenters, one of the reasons we purchased the Munro site was to inoculate ourselves against bad development like a supermarket or franchises next to the market, and we have prohibited that. Far from being a money grab or a land grab, a really cheap slur from someone who doesn't know the process of the market, the Munro site will actually cost council money, because in there goes childcare and civic spaces and affordable housing and all of the elements that will protect the Mercat end and the heritage end from any future development. So far from being a land or a money grab, it is a protection of the environment of the market by the council making a significant investment in that. And so while I'm happy to debate the merits or not of the proposal, what I don't like is when the facts that are thrown at me are fake facts and simply media lines rather than the reality of knowing what the development is. I'm committed to the redevelopment of the market. It was the largest issue in the most recent council elections. I was happy to defend it at every single forum, and I now feel that we need to get on with doing this. And the point that Brian Murray made, of course I am prepared to listen to voices during the course of the debate. I do not have a closed mind, but there are certain decisions of council that have been made that have set us on a path that lead us today to this next step, which is the temporary pavilion which makes provision for the redevelopment of the market. I think it should be seen as a positive. I thank the present traders for seeing it in that way, and I look forward to the temporary facility being in place.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. And as seconder of the motion, I'll speak briefly to it as well. I'll start by welcoming the amendment suggested by Councillor Leppart and also saying that I support that. I also want to thank every member of the community who made submissions to us this evening. You know, our council makes better decisions when we get the input from the community, and so welcome every single contribution that we heard tonight. That's what makes a better democracy. It is also the case that we recently had a democratic election here in the city of Melbourne, and I think you'll find every councillor who was elected had a position in that campaign. The reason for that is because this was such a big issue during the campaign, and there was much debate about it, and so all councillors here have put a view out on this at one stage or another, and I think my read of it would be that there's strong support for this project across the council. In terms of the issue that's before council tonight, this, as everyone would know, is not a consideration of the entire QVM redevelopment. It's a consideration of a planning permit for the construction of a temporary structure at the site, and it is a structure which I believe, in terms of the temporary shed, that it's one that is actually very innovative, that has a of the work that they have done, and it was obviously a process that was undertaken, and it's not surprising to councillors that the Breathe Architect designed shed with the glass house that can be repurposed after its temporary use, the use of the elevated greenhouse, which is a very innovative design and will be a draw card in its own right, ultimately won out as the preferred design. So I think there's much to commend about this design. There's much to commend about this temporary shed. I think it will be a draw card, a much needed draw card to QVM in its own right, which will be terrific for traders. And while we go through this period of disruption, we can see that QVM is handling it in the best way possible. Call on other councillors who may wish to speak for the motion. Yep, Councillor Leppart.
Thank you, Chair, and can I thank you and the mover for agreeing to incorporate the amendment. I know that this has been touched on by both of you already, but I wanted to start my brief remarks just by reiterating what we're not doing today, and that is we are not re-prosecuting the master plan or the implementation framework. The decision of council made in a public forum after much community consultation and deliberation to commission the application that's before us has already been made. You could argue that it's been made a couple of times, but it's certainly already been made at least once through the adoption of the implementation plan, which makes it very clear on pages 8 and 9 that we would need temporary accommodation for the traders as broader Queen Victoria Market renewal works are done. So what it is an assessment of that application, and I understand that the perception out there is that these two roles are conflated somewhat, and of course they are. The Planning Environment Act is what it is. We are the responsible authority for considering this application, which comes from another section of the City of Melbourne, but that's the way it goes. If the Planning Minister had signed off on C245 in whatever form it is, I know that there's controversial aspects of C245, particularly around building heights on the Munro site and elsewhere, but if the Minister had signed off on that, then under the Act, he would be the responsible authority rather than the City of Melbourne, I believe. I don't think it's fair that the Council's being blamed for assessing this application when actually it's the delay from the Minister's end, which is the reason why we're assessing this application as a responsible authority. Also, there are Heritage Victoria permits in play for both the temporary pavilion and for the underground services related to the need for this temporary pavilion. It is, again, quite proper that the responsible authority will consider the provisions under the Planning Environment Act separate to Heritage Victoria issuing that permit. There's nothing improper there. I'll be very, very keen to see what Heritage Victoria does come up with, both in terms of the temporary pavilion, which I assume will be supported because this is a temporary development, and of course what they come up with for other works in the Queen Victoria Market precinct. But the decision around those other works are coming up later. That's why I'm making it very clear with my amendment here that all we're doing today is assessing whether or not this application meets the provisions of the planning scheme. We're not predetermining any position on underground construction works or anything else like that. That is a duty for another day. Of course, all these decisions and applications stem from previously endorsed master plans and implementation frameworks, but today all we're doing is deciding whether or not the temporary pavilion meets the provisions of the scheme, and in that context the answer is unambiguously yes. And I note that there's a condition being applied by our planning officers, and I thank them for all of their work in assessing this application, that the temporary pavilion will only be there for 5 years after construction, by which time it must come down. This is very clearly a temporary pavilion. I think that I concur entirely with the mover and seconder that the job done by the architects is extraordinary for what will inevitably need to be a limited budget, and so I'm happy to support the application in this stage.
Thank you, Councillor Leppard. Are there any speakers against the motion? Are there any other speakers for the motion? Okay. In that case... Councillor Oak?
I thought that there might have been other people speaking. Sorry, I was taken off guard. I guess that I... I'm glad that there is the additional amendment to the original recommendation from management, because I too had a bit of a concern about the decisions being made in before Heritage Victoria permit approval had come through, and so I support the recommendation on the basis that the second point that's been added in allows that we're supporting this planning application, but it still allows us to reconsider it, I guess, in lieu of any permit application that might come through. That is important because the heritage and the implications for this decision on heritage is important to me. That's why supporting a temporary structure is important to note as well. This is, for all the reasons that the existing traders or the current traders mentioned, that this is an exciting proposal, that it will be an attractant, that people will come to this facility. However, it isn't in line with what I understand is a vision for the new market. The new market is the current market, but renewed and refreshed. It's not a new market by look or by character or by feel. And so this structure, whilst exciting in the images, and it is, you know, a modern and it's sustainable and it is bright and shiny, it isn't what the new market is meant to be about. The new market is the existing market, but with improvements to the facilities for traders and for customers, and that is what I've been supporting all along. So whilst, as been mentioned by some of the submitters and by some of my colleagues, that it is a novel response to how we house traders during anticipated disruption, and how and where we house traders when redevelopment occurs, it is important to me that this is a temporary structure, that it will be removed, but as it also has been pointed out, it's been built in a very innovative way that it can be moved elsewhere to be used elsewhere. So going with the sustainability ethos and the really excellent work that the team has done on sustainability, that this structure is not going to be removed and abandoned and not be used again. It could be used elsewhere. That is really important. But as I mentioned before, the ethos around sustainability, the new market should and must have greater sustainability features within it. Where is the waste going to go? Where are people going to ride their bikes and park their bikes? How are people going to access this site? Really important features that I believe that this temporary pavilion will allow us to have greater conversations with existing and new customers as well, and that the features that could be on display through the greenhouse or through the signage or the interaction of traders with their customers around sustainability will be showcasing what the new market should be about: more solar, more collection of water, more sustainability, or especially around food waste and collection and also processing on site. And that's an important element of this structure. Some people mentioned, unknown issues around licensing and their future tenure and their future sustainability within, different use of the word sustainability, but in terms of their licensing agreements and where they might actually be within this temporary structure. Incredibly important to me. And obviously more so for traders, that the market management ensures that all traders have security of tenure, they know where they're going to be, and that it's long and it's as they expect it to be, it's I expect it to be as well. So whilst I heard mixed messages from I don't know, maybe I've spoken too long, I heard mixed views from the submitters about the known or unknowns with respect to tenure, I would expect that management at QVM have that under control, and if there are any existing traders that don't know where they would be in a temporary structure or what this means for the future longevity of their business, I really expect that to have been sorted out before anyone's moving in or moving anywhere. Likewise, there was some people mentioned traffic and unknowns about where the vehicles will be or where the loading will occur. There is a condition in the report around that, and that then needs to be submitted as part of the final process, exactly where that will occur and how that will occur. And again, I look to the management to work with the traders and also the customers to really understand how vehicles will move and where they will move in a safe a manner within this facility. On maybe more minor things, but I don't think they're minor, it does mention bikes. there are bike hoops that will be removed. It does say that QVM market or management will ensure that they're replaced somewhere else on the site. I hope that they go above and beyond that. I hope that it's really clear where the future bike hoops might be. It's a long ongoing issue of mine, where to park the bike at the QVM, and also trees were mentioned, and that's a very strong condition of this permit. And again, only I wouldn't be supporting this if it wasn't very clear that we need to work with our urban tree department with how, if there are any trees to be lost or how we protect the trees. Really important that tree management plan is submitted before anything goes ahead. So, in summary, I think I support it only because of there's a proviso with respect to future permits that we don't yet have from Heritage Victoria, and proviso that it's a temporary structure, and proviso that traffic conditions, tenure of licences and trees and bikes and a whole range of other things that are contained in the conditions are really absolutely met before anything proceeds.
Thank you for that comprehensive contribution, Councillor Oak. Are there any other... are there any other any other speakers for Councillor Sullivan?
Thank you, and I'll just briefly, because I think my colleagues have already touched on it, and I'd just like to thank the speakers, and obviously I concur with a lot that we've talked about today. So QVM, I mean, it's obviously, it's very much loved, it's controversial, it's divisive. I think there's a lot of things that we talk about the people and the produce, the family ties, the security of tender, the respect for the character of the market, the long-term capability and sustainability of the site, which are obviously very much important things that we talk about. Also, I think that it is also, QVM in general, what we're doing is a necessary move. When I look at this plan, I don't see it as a folly. I actually see it as a very well thought out plan. When we talk about things like national heritage, I think we've got a real chance to communicate to the world that there's an architectural gem here that puts Melbourne on the map on a world stage, that we could rival, and be a draw card such as other markets that we've seen, the fish markets of Japan, Suan Chatuchak in Thailand, or the Mercado del Sol in Miguel in Madrid, for instance, which are real draw cards. And I think that I'm very excited and proud of the work that's put in these plans, and I thank the architects and the council for thinking about this very well thought out and necessary decision.
Thank you, Councillor Sullivan. Councillor Francis Gillies.
Thank you. I think there's just two things really to respond to the emotion of this. One is about the process and one of the things is about the facts. So with the facts, I'm new here, and so I didn't have any facts, and so I've been getting facts. And I can say some things that I've learned from here that I absolutely believe. One of the things is to support what the Lord Mayor said. This is clearly not being done in council to make money. It is clear from the conversations that I've had with officers and with my colleagues that this is that it will cost the council money. It will cost it capital to achieve this. So this is not, I think, and I know it's kind of handy to think like that, but it's not, as far as I can see, and I've looked, that's not the case. And I believe what I've been told. I think the second thing is, in terms of the argument, is that I'm hearing people say, you know, I hear people kind of do things where, and I think a few of you did it tonight, where vendors don't want this. That's not true. Two vendors were here tonight saying they would like it. And I've had friends come and say to me, friends of the market come and lobby me and talk to me and saying it's not wanted. But actually I've met several, I don't know how many vendors, who do want it, who are concerned about the loss of traffic, who are concerned about their livelihoods, who are concerned about the fact that if we don't do something different, their livelihood and their ability to keep this going won't be there. So I'm not making that up. That's just absolutely real. And we heard it tonight. So you can't pretend that that's not the case. That is absolutely the case. I think, so one of the things is to actually get that straight. I think I also, though, like many of you, have a concern. You know, you've got this beautiful thing. I'm not from this country. I've been here 20 years. It's the one thing that I always take any visitor to this city to go and see. It's extraordinary. I don't think there is another market like it in the world. I've never been in a place where there is so much meat, fish, and colour of vegetables and fruit. We don't want to lose that. But honestly, in every single person I have met and spoke to, nobody wants to lose that. Now, I know there are real concerns about the process in which we're going down, but I have not met anyone who doesn't want to keep that. I think that's absolutely clear and true. Now, I think there are, though, some concerns about how it happens. And it clearly, as somebody who's new here, and I don't want to disparage anybody because I am new, we obviously could have done this process better. Like every process, you learn as you go, and you don't know what you've got until you start. And there are people that are hurt and angry about this, and we could have done it better. One of the things that I think is quite difficult is that we've got two bodies in this. You know, we've got a management body, and we've got a development body. And although the council is over them, for many people, you're speaking to two different groups. You're speaking to Joe and Rob about this is what it's going to be and what it's going to look like over the next 5 years, and then tomorrow you've got somebody talking about the management, and that can be confusing. We're not dealing with big, you've got to deal with two kind of bureaucracies, and I think for some people that's become frightening, and I think that's our responsibility as council to think about how we might do that better and how we might separate out some of these things and saying this is going to happen. This bit is going to happen, like Munro. It is going to happen. It is really going to happen, I can tell you. So that's going to happen. But I have heard from Rob and his team and everyone else is that there is such a lot of space to change the way that we could do the underground stuff. We could have more, we could have less, we could have lifts, we could have no lifts, we could go one floor, we could go two floor. There's lots of capacity for conversation. But we won't be having that conversation if we are positioned and we're not in the facts. So I think for us, we got to think about our role in improving the process, and I would like us to say that we can do that. But I think for those of us who do care, and I get it's all of us, we have got to get better at being truthful about what we are dealing with and recognizing just because our position is here and it's strong, it doesn't make it the right one or the only one, and we stop having to pretend that it is. Anyway, that's my
thought. Thank you, Councillor Francis Gillies. Would the mover like to reply? Okay, well, in that case, I will now put the motion to the vote.
All those in favour of the motion, raise your hands. I declare the motion carried unanimously. Okay, the next agenda item is 6.2, and that's the City of Melbourne's submission regarding the Planning Scheme Amendment C281, Games Village Project Parkville. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? I would, so yeah, a call on Council Officer Emma Appleton to present to us.
Thank you, Chair, Lord Mayor, councillors, members of the public. Emma. So here today I'm going to present the report has presented the submission put together by officers regarding Amendment C281, proposed by Village Park Consortium and prepared by the Department of Environment, Land, Water and Planning on behalf of the Minister. It's the Commonwealth Games Village site, and the area in question that we're talking about are the freeway apartments against CityLink. The amendment seeks to change to increase heights, massing, reorientate buildings along in stages 9 to 12 of the freeway apartments. The context for the amendment is the Commonwealth Games Village, which is to the north of our municipality, with Royal Park to the south. The Trim Warren Tambor wetlands is directly south of stage 12 of the proposed amendment. And importantly, the Gallada Avenue Reserve is a key linear spine of the Games Village and really intrinsically important to the character of that village, of the village. I was there again at the weekend just checking over. We were fully on top of this. And the importance of that linear parkland to separate the existing lower density development to the high density development, which enabled the importance of this parkland to enable that is really paramount when you're on site. So it's a site that contains many typologies. We have heritage buildings within the middle. There's detached dwellings, semi-detached dwellings going to townhouses and then going to the apartments along the freeway, as you can see here against Gallada Avenue Reserve. And then this is the latest stage, which is stage 8, which shows a 15-storey building about 50 metres. So it is an area that can take, and the diversity is a good part of the village. So the proposed changes in 9 to 12 with the Tambor Reserve, Trim Warren Tambor Reserve to the south, to this end, is quite significant. In terms of, stage 11, as an example, is going from 10 habitable storey, stage 11 is proposed to increase from 8 habitable storeys to 40 metres at its highest point to 19 habitable storeys and 79 metres. Habitable storeys, obviously, with an increase in population, more cars, then the car park layers need to rise, and so that's why there's a discrepancy in height here. In addition, the floor plates and tower forms have been reorientated, which increases the massing and visual bulk. Obviously, a point may be made that there is lesser density in this area, and that was because of the market conditions of the time and seeking to move this to this end. But, of course, there are contextual issues that need to be taken on board, which is referenced in our submission. In terms of the cumulative impact of the increase in this bulk and mass of these dwellings, I think this is quite clearly shown within these drawings here. Even though that isn't a great representation, that is what has been submitted as part of the amendment by the proponent. And it does have quite serious impact on Royal Park. In terms of the CityLink, this is one of the key gateways into Melbourne along CityLink. And collectively, this sets a potential precedent for this area to the central city. Another view. There is also, in the reorientation of the tower forms, we believe there is impacts access to daylight as well as internal amenity to the actual dwellings. terms of the Municipal Strategic Statement and Plan Melbourne, there isn't any strategic justification in those documents for increase this level of density within this area. And the increase in population of 388 dwellings taking up to 1,288, there isn't any proposed services to go alongside to support those that increase in community. And no concrete commitment. While affordable housing is discussed within the amendment, we're seeking that there be a much clearer commitment to that, a formal commitment. So in terms of recommendations, we are seeking council, we have put forward in our report to not support this amendment in its current form on the basis of the things that I've outlined today, which are talking about height, mass and bulk of stages 9 to 11, the depth and siting of the buildings, the importance of high quality architecture. These buildings will be seen in the round, and some of the examples along CityLink now really do not create a good welcome into the city. And so the importance of getting architectural quality as well as excellent urban outcomes relative to the parkland is important. Ensuring commensurate services, and also if there is any uplift in development and therefore an increase in population, commensurate development contributions to enable commensurate services to be provided to the community, because it is rather isolated. Thank you. Any questions?
Just through you, Chair.
Councillor Oak.
I mean, there's a range of reasons why I'm concerned about this proposal, but you mentioned the lack of services that are included in the proposed and that we don't necessarily specify the services that we think that they should include in their development plans. Is there a way of including, we've done a range of reviews of community infrastructure needs for the municipality. Is that something that we can, include in our submission?
And be more specific with
the submission. Be more specific about, identifying the complete, obviously there's a complete lack of community services in that area and a great need. And I know that in our assessment for West Parkville, we would have identified, community services that are needed in that community infrastructure framework. So just as a suggestion, because I know that to get to this huge amount of work that you guys have done, there isn't necessarily specified community needs that have been identified, so we could do that.
All right, thank you very much, Emma. And I'm just confirming that there are no other people who requested to speak to this motion. No? Okay, in that case, I'll call on a councillor to move the motion. I'm happy to move it as chair. Call on a seconder. Thank you, Councillor Leppert. Look, I concur with the report that's been given by Emma Appleton. I guess the question for council is, should we agree with the amendment or a change to the current controls? And the answer to that is no. And what's being put before council is clearly a set of controls which will allow for excessive height on the site and excessive visual bulk, allowing towers to move from sort of around 40 metres to close to 80 metres is clearly inappropriate in the context of this development. And we're obviously mindful of the Tamboree wetlands and the Galagal Park as well. I also just want to highlight the second point, 10.2 in the recommendations, which goes to the request that if any increase in development is eventually authorised by the state government, that this increase should be subject to development contributions to provide improved services for resultant increase in population. We did hear from Emil Appleton about there being some deficiency in services in this area, and so if there is further development over and above the existing controls, then we would see it as being fundamentally important that there should be development contributions that can allow for improvements to services and the public realm. Councillor Leppert.
Thank you, Chair. I agree. I think this is a very poor proposed planning scheme amendment, and I don't blame the Village Park Consortium for that. I think
the Minister probably should have urged a bit more strategic justification to be presented alongside this proposed planning scheme amendment before allowing it to be exhibited, because, as has been noted already, this amendment is devoid of strategic justification. It amounts to a strike through of a couple of words and an addition of a couple of words to change the height limit from 11 habitable stories to 19, and there's no justification for that. There's a large master plan for the site that was endorsed as an incorporated document to guide development in this area, which underpinned the development and discussed design, discussed where different typologies should be, discussed retention of heritage and discussed open space. But this planning scheme amendment, in increasing the height, hasn't sought to review any of those strategic justifications for the original built form, and the planning scheme amendment itself doesn't have any accompanying information which provides a strategic justification. If a council were to propose a planning scheme amendment along these lines without any strategic justification, we'd rightly be screamed at. Let's just pick another planning scheme amendment at random, shall we? Let's pick C245. Just think how many hundreds of pages council has put in as strategic justification for that planning scheme amendment and compare it to what we've got in front of us. I think you can tell I'm a little bit peeved at the hypocrisy. Two issues. There's no justification for the change in design. As has been noted, the CityLink is the gateway to the city. What is the impact going to be on that gateway? What's the impact going to be on the Galata Avenue open space? And more importantly, to Royal Park. Royal Park is now on the State Heritage Register. The thing that is significant about Royal Park is the views out of the park. None of that's been assessed here, even though that is part of the new State Register citation. And the second issue is that this is not an urban renewal area, and I know that that has been covered already. This is not an area that's been suggested as ripe for urban renewal because of the lack of services, and the public transport to this part of the City of Melbourne is pretty woeful at best. So for all of those reasons, I think that the officers have struck upon the correct stance on this, which is to oppose it, and if it is going to proceed, to make some serious changes, because this one is really undercooked.
Are there any speakers, further speakers for or against the motion?
For the motion?
For the motion, Councillor Oak?
Just sitting here in my, you know, flu state, getting angry about the fact that we've got this it's an incredibly good document, and the huge amount of work that our strategic planners have put into responding is excellent, but it's frustrating that they have to. I mean, the fact that they have to respond to a document that should have already been clear that it didn't have any planning justification. You know, why put in all of this effort for Plan Melbourne? Why put in all of this effort with respect to our municipal strategic statements if they're not even referred to or used to justify such a, you know, an increase or a significant change to the original approved design? So it's frustrating. I acknowledge the incredibly hard work from our team that constantly has to respond to these proposals from the state government that are outside any, you know, strategy that has been endorsed. So I thank officers for their hard work. I also thank Kayodi for her exceptional work, as usual, in defending the important space that is Royal Park, identifying with exact and precise reasons why it is, it contradicts any approved development plans before, but also how it contradicts the important place that is Royal Park and the impact on the ecology of this space, which we've got few and far between our, you know, native indigenous spaces within the City of Melbourne, and the impact of this development on the limited open space such as this is important and significant. And I thank Kay and the Friends of Royal Park for their submission, and I think it supports wholeheartedly the officer's submission to this amendment. So, yeah, I support the recommendation accordingly.
Are there any other speakers for or against the motion? I might quickly exercise my right of reply and just add to the comments of Councillor Leppart about major projects, which is now Development Victoria, and and I would just urge Development Victoria to, reset their strategic thinking. I mean, this development really resembles Docklands in Parkville. It's an attempt to build a Docklands-type urban environment in Royal Park, and you would think that we would see a little bit more strategic thinking from the state's preeminent major project and development planner than that. Something a little bit smarter, something a little bit more strategic, something that is not as completely incongruous with the surrounding environment that this is. Favour of the motion, raise your hands. Okay, I declare the motion carried unanimously. I now call on Councillor Oak to assume the role of chair of the meeting in relation to the finance and governance portfolio. Thank you, Councillor Oak.
Thank you, Councillor Rees. There are two reports from management for consideration under the finance and governance portfolio. Agenda 6.3 is the allocation of the discretionary fund third quarter 2016-2017. Would any councillors like a presentation on this matter? I see none. No questions for director. I call a councillor to move the recommendation. Thank you, Lord Mayor. Is there a councillor to second it? Councillor Riley, Lord Mayor, would you like to speak to the motion?
The only thing I'd say is we've been remarkably restrained when you look at how we've reduced this budget over the years, and there is still considerable money left in it. I think that's a very good thing. It'd be good to finish the year with a considerable surplus balance in there, because it means our other processes by which we grant are being more effective in getting the support to our community, business and event organisations, but without them being out of cycle.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Councillor Riley.
We have managed this new way of discretionary funds very well, and we can only but keep going in the manner that we are to deliver a good bottom line.
Are there any speakers against the motion? Any speakers for? If not, I ask councillors to raise their hands if they support this recommendation. All those councillors in favour? It's passed unanimously. Agenda item 6.4, proposed travel report by Lord Mayor Robert Doyle to Chicago on the Global Cities Private Roundtable. Do I need to read it all out? Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? No? I now call on Chris Thrum, who's requested the opportunity to address the committee in relation to this matter. And I don't need to tell you, Chris, the rules of the game.
Good afternoon or good evening, Lord Mayor, councillors, men and women of Old Melbourne Town. This is agenda item 6.4 in regards to the travel journey that the Lord Mayor shall undertake in June and July to Chicago and also to Auckland. It's very important that we recognise that Melbourne is an international city and it is a magnet for cultural and sporting and financial activities and development. And as such, it's appropriate that the Lord Mayor attends the Chicago Forum and has meetings with the Honourable Lord Mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, and other dignitaries as well. So I fully support the recommendation from the management in regards to that. I think it's appropriate that the Lord Mayor would touch upon the livability of the city of Melbourne when he's overseas in Chicago. And it's appropriate that every meeting that we have, the Lord Mayor acknowledges that this is the Kulin Nation. And that's a keystone to the philosophical approach that the city of Melbourne has in regards to its reconciliation action plan. City of Yarra is more progressive in regards to their engagement and in discussions with the Wurundjeri people in regards to Australia Day. However, it is admirable the approach that the City of Melbourne is taking in its discussions with the Wurundjeri and the elders of the Wurundjeri. The fact is they've been here for 50,000 years. They've withstood so much and the tribe is strong. And it's important that the City of Melbourne and the citizens of Melbourne have a strong and positive relationship with the Wurundjeri elders, the Wurundjeri, and the tribes across Australia. And that is the approach that the City of Melbourne takes. Also too, in Chicago, music is a driving force in its culture, and Melbourne musicians look to Chicago for inspiration. So I'd convey to the Lord Mayor if you could discuss with Chicagoans how much respect we have for the Chicago music and for the blues. And also too, I think if we could mention the brilliance of the horse racing industry in Australia. Horse racing drives a lot of the economy and the social calendar of Melbourne. The Melbourne Cup, Spring Racing Carnival, they are vital cogs of Melbourne. So if the Lord Mayor could convey to in his discussions there how vital horse racing is to Melbournians and to Victorians. And visiting Auckland too, it's important that we share the knowledge that we have with our neighbours in New Zealand and the Pacific Islands. And thank you for your time. And in conclusion, I do support the recommendations from the management.
Thank you, Chris. Are there any questions for Chris? You had me at reconciliation and music, but not at horse racing, Chris. No. thank you, Chris. If you're, are you able to press the button off on the microphone while you're there? Thank you. I call on a councillor to move the motion. Councillor Rees.
I'm happy to move the motion.
Councillor to seconder. Councillor Leppart. Councillor Rees.
Thank you, Councillor. Okay, look, I'm delighted to be able to move this motion. The Chicago Forum on Global Cities and Private Roundtable is one of the most important forums of its kind in the world. It is attended by some real thought leaders in the area of cities policy, including people like Rahm Emanuel, Mayor of Chicago, as well as Eric Garcetti, who is the Mayor of Los Angeles, Richard Florida, and many, many others. I'm delighted to note that, that our Lord Mayor has been invited to speak at this conference more than once, but he has now taken up the invitation, and this year he'll be speaking on the topic of renewal of the Queen Victoria Market as an example of shared value and its relevance to global mayors as the largest renewal project of its type in the world today. And as part of his address, the Lord Mayor will provide some insights on the challenges in areas of urban design, city safety, infrastructure and governance, something which I think the City of Melbourne can teach the world about, but also something which we have much to learn about. So, I'm very pleased to put this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Rees. Would the seconder like to speak?
Thank you. Councillor Rees has pretty much said it all. Can I add just in response to the submission, thank you as always, Chris. You might be happy to know that today the Arts Ministers announced that Melbourne secured the the Melbourne Music Convention for 2018, which will be another fantastic opportunity to showcase Melbourne to the world. But in terms of the proposal before us, this is a wonderful opportunity to showcase Melbourne in Chicago and in Auckland, but also to learn from those cities and from the leaders of those cities around the world. Bargain at twice the price. I'm sure the Lord Mayor will do us proud. Very happy to support this.
Are there any other councillors who'd like to speak to the motion? Lord Mayor.
I think I should. Thank you for your support. I always attempt to bring back value for our city from these trips, and I will this time too. But I suspect this time, as Chris mentioned, this is more taking information about what we do to these major fora. As Councillor Rees said, in Chicago, I'll be talking about shared value and showcasing our city, not just QVM, but the Munro proposal and our partnership with PDG. Our Boyd proposal and our partnership with Mackey, the work we did with the 1200 Buildings Program and our partnership with the National Australia Bank in green loans, MREP, which is yet to get off the ground, but our partnership with other private and not-for-profit providers. That idea of how you bring finance to city infrastructure that is not necessarily the city's money, and I'm very, very happy to do that. I'm also happy that the Consul General in Chicago is very happy to organise a program for us. Chris, I will suggest that he adds music to that. I didn't realise, except when I read your submission, that it's such a strong scene, but we can certainly take some value from that and back here perhaps to Music Week. In regard to horse racing, I couldn't agree with you more. My very good written tycoon cult, Written in Stone, is racing in Ballarat on Friday. All care, no responsibility. You may want to follow him. My very, very good horse, Atlantic City, should have done better on Saturday in Morfordville, but I've now
this put isn't that a part. No, just to stop
this
you
is council business. I'm sorry. And in regard to Chris's point about our First Peoples and the Kulin Nation, In particular, I met recently with the Mayor of Auckland, Phil Goff, who was previously the Foreign Affairs Minister for New Zealand. And Phil came over here and we talked about this conference that's being hosted in Auckland, for which they're very generously paying me to go over there and give the keynote speech. One of the stories I will tell is about the livability of Melbourne and our relationship with First Peoples. And of course, in New Zealand, that is something where they do it probably as well as Canada, which is as good as the best in the world. So we have much to learn from them and much to tell them about what we're doing. And I'll certainly be telling the Melbourne story both in Chicago and in Auckland. And without anticipating the vote, I thank my colleagues for their support.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Are there any other speakers? I too support the recommendation. A lot has been said about what you'll be talking about and who you'll be talking to. I think that the one thing that hasn't been mentioned, that a lot of these cities, not only Auckland, but also Chicago and Los Angeles and London, are also involved significantly with other city networks that we are too, C40 and ICLEI and Resilient Cities. And I think it's a great opportunity to also talk about how we've each approached those different the different programs under each of those organisations. And you've mentioned safety and livability, and I think that, you know, one of the success stories that we assume would be part of your presentations will be about Resilient Melbourne and how we have really taken that 100 RC program and applied it so well to Greater Melbourne in joining up the way that we work across municipal boundaries for safety, resilience, for sustainability. I think it's a great story, and I assume it will be part of both presentations. There are no other speakers. I'll put Councillor Francis Gidley.
Just a short point. I'm sure you'll sing our praises, but if you do sing the blues, could you get someone to film it?
On that note, I put the recommendation to the vote. All those in favour, raise their hands. It's carried unanimously. Thank you. I now hand back to the Lord Mayor.
This concludes the reports from management. There are no items of general business. Are there any items of proposed urgent business? In that case, we provide a period at the end of each meeting for the public to ask questions. Questions should not be greater than 90 seconds in duration. Would anyone like to ask us a question? Yes. Please come to the... I'd remind you, this is not the time to make a submission about an agenda item that we have dealt with.
Understood. I'd like to ask when the engineering designs will be available and a logistics report for the planning application for the temporary pavilion, and when that will be displayed to the public. Because I might add, if I put an application in like that to my local council for a building, for a planning permit, they'd laugh me out of the place with that degree of detail. Thank you.
Would you like an answer to your question?
Yes, I would actually like a question on
notice,
because I'd like to actually see.
We're happy to provide you with both of those elements of information.
Planning application indicates that they aren't available yet because they haven't been done yet.
No, but when they are done, we're very happy to provide them.
Sorry?
When they are done, we're very happy to provide.
Good. I can't understand how you can pass a planning application without that level of detail. I find it extraordinary.
Well, you may, but that is nevertheless the way that we do things here the whole time. A logistics report.
I wish I lived in the city of Melbourne.
A logistics report for a planning application? Really? I've never seen such a thing.
You haven't seen any. I have to do
a logistics report for a planning application.
Because I've put in even a shed on my property. I have to explain to my local councillor about where people are going to park and where building materials will be brought in and out. And I have to indicate what the
You'll find that's all a part of the planning application.
Well, it's not here, and I would think you need to have an obligation to share it with the public.
I suspect we can't make you happy. We're happy to provide the information.
I suspect you can't make me happy because this is a completely unworkable application. What you've got designed here
I'm sorry, this is now an insulting tirade, and I don't think that does the debate any value at all. Could I thank members of the public for their interest and attendance and declare the meeting closed at 7 minutes to 7.